dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. That war has just taken another ugly turn in the United Kingdom, where we have seen over the weekend scores more innocent British citizens and tourists mercilessly attacked by jihadists who have killed quite a number of them and very, very, very seriously wounded many others. I'm very pleased to say that while this is not a happy occasion, it is an opportunity for us to take stock with one of the most thoughtful members of the British government that I've had the privilege to know for many years. He is Lord Malcolm Pearson of Rannoch. He is in the House of Lords, where he has worked tirelessly for years to try to raise an alarm about what has been developing in his country and more broadly in the West at the hands of Islamic extremism, if you will. I think of it as Sharia supremacism. He gave a very thoughtful address that I was privileged to be in the audience for in Orlando, Florida, earlier this year, in the context of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention there. And it is a great privilege to have him with us to talk a bit about some of his insights about the current state of affairs in the United Kingdom and where it's going from here. Lord Pearson, it is a delight to have you, sir. Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio.
Great privilege for me, sir.
Well, let us begin by talking a little bit about this most recent episode. Of course, it's the third now of several in a very short period of time. What can you tell us about what happened and what it portends for the people of London and Britain more generally?
Well, I think this attack, like the one in Westminster earlier, does show how difficult it is to get to grips with this problem of Islamism, because these people are simply armed with a car and a knife and do the damage that they've done. And we do have some 23,000, I think it is, young, homegrown Muslim men in this country who are under the surveillance one way or another of our security forces. So my own view is that unless we can open up the conversation about the nature of Islam itself and really start talking about it openly, I don't think we'll defeat Islamism until we understand Islam. And we won't understand Islam if we're not allowed to talk about it. And we're not, because as soon as you try to talk about Islam, I don't know how it is with you, but over here, you're immediately told that you're an Islamophobic bigot, and you know, and that somehow, when you raise the question of what is Islam and to what extent are these people following real Islam, you become the one who is guilty of stirring up hatred.
And you found this to be very difficult in the House of Lords, as I recall from your conversations with the National Religious Broadcasters folks. You have experience in asking even some very basic questions about the possibility that the roots of this Islamism, as you call it, is indeed in the sacred texts and Sharia of Islam itself. Describe what you've confronted there.
And in the life of Muhammad, of course. And Muslims have to follow the Quran and the example of the Prophet. And I'm no Quranic scholar, but I've learned enough to know that that is extremely frightening. And the questions I've been putting down in the Lords are about the three sort of central Muslim tenets, which I believe all Muslims are supposed to follow. And I've been asking questions of the government and the Lords. I mean, a very simple question was one of them, would they encourage Muslim leaders in the UK to re-examine, only that, to re-examine the Muslim tenet of abrogation? And before your listeners switch off, because abrogation is a very boring word, it's actually rather important, because what it holds is that the later verses of the Quran, the later revelations to Muhammad, and his later deeds in life outweigh and cancel, abrogate the earlier ones. And of course, that's a huge problem, if that is so, because Islam cannot possibly be a religion of peace. If the 100-plus verses in the Quran, which encourage, indeed ordain, violence towards non-Muslims, if they are the ones that count, and the earlier verses of peace from Mecca before he moved to Medina in 627, if they don't count. So I think abrogation is pretty important.
Well, this goes to a question that I wanted to ask you, Lord Pearson, about your prime minister, because she has become, you know, quite engaged on this topic, needless to say, in the course of all of these activities. And we'll talk momentarily about her electoral prospects and how they're being affected by this in the course of a very immediate election this week. But I did want to ask you, her thesis, again, as recently as yesterday, is that Islam is being hijacked by these Islamists. She is, to her credit, calling them Islamists, at least, as opposed to, I don't know, violent extremists or something else. What is your sense of this, knowing what you do, of the tenets of Islam as you know, codified in Sharia?
Well, she has gone a little further this morning. I think she said this has stopped, it's got to stop, and all the rest of it. But I don't think the government is ready for the sort of things we've got to do if we've got a chance of stopping it. I mean, for instance, I think I'm going to put a bill down in our new parliament after the Queen opens parliament on the 19th to make all our schools in the whole of the United Kingdom, and particularly, of course, the madrasas and so on, but to hold their lessons in English so that we can send in inspectors and actually find out what these people are saying. Now, I'm sure the political establishment will react in horror to that. But she has said this morning, this has got to stop. You know, this has gone far enough. This has gone too far. Anything she's not saying is, what the devil do we do about it? You see?
Let me just ask you this, because I think what we are now confronting, it seems to me, both in the very specific case of the United Kingdom and to varying degrees the West at large, is less and less the problem of terrorism and more the problem of truly an insurgency. You mentioned, I think the number is actually 23,000 Islamists that are now under surveillance, as you say, by your country's security services. That's the size of roughly a division of the British Army, I have to say. If that's the size of the problem, it's a deeply, deeply troubling development that has to be dealt with much more aggressively than anything that's been discussed so far, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And a very worrying statistic there is that only 1 in 8 of the tip-offs to our security services and the police, and so only 1 in 8 comes from within our Muslim communities, which are very close-knit, as you know. They keep themselves entirely separate and all the rest. It just isn't conceivable that in our Muslim communities there are an awful lot of wonderful, peaceful Muslims who do know what's going on and who are not coming forward. And somehow we've got to persuade them to do that. Otherwise, I don't think we've got much of a hope, quite frankly.
Well, it seems to me that at the very least, you have to stop doing as we have been doing in the States, which is embracing and empowering and legitimating those within the Muslim community who are Muslim Brotherhood operatives and calling them the leaders of their community, because, of course, that simply confers upon them a degree of power and authority that makes it that much more difficult for others who disagree with their Sharia supremacist agenda to counter them. Lord Pearson, we have to pause for just a moment. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit further about what needs to be done and what all this might mean for the elections that are now underway in your country imminently, and for the rest of us as well. All of that and more with Lord Pearson of Rannoch, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.